There are other interesting things that we want to cover in the Gospel of Matthew. So we'll leave some of the details in the Gospel of his birth in the Gospel of Luke. But we want to just point at a few important things. And that is in chapter 1, the significance of the dreams that Joseph had in verse 24. Then Joseph, chapter 1 verse 24, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel the Lord commanded him, took to him his wife and did not know her till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Now, there's something interesting here that we want to touch on when we reach the Gospel of Luke. Matthew starts off with the kingliness of Jesus Christ. His introduction is different from all the others. You notice here in Matthew 1 verse 1, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Compare that with the other genealogy. In the book of Mark, chapter 1 verse 1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Different beginning. Then in Luke chapter 1, you could tell the tenor of each book by its beginning. In Luke, chapter 1 verse 1, it says, "Inasmuch as many have taken in hand to set in order a narrative of those things which are most surely believed among us." And it says that in verse 3, "It seemed good to me also, having a perfect understanding of all things from the very first, to write to you an orderly account, most excellent Theophilus." It was written to a Gentile. The tenor is different. John 1 verse 1, the famous verse, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You can see that from the introduction, each gospel had a specific purpose. Now, when we compare the gospels, Luke records some things that are important to Gentiles that the others don't record. John records some things from the inside view of Jesus' life that nobody else saw. Mark records, in fact, one of the most detailed areas of the gospel. Mark and Luke record quite detailed accounts of the miracles, the happenings, etc. Although Mark is a very short gospel, it is detailed in each description. Matthew tends to generalize because of his theme. Although it's one of the long gospels, but when it comes to an account of the healing, etc., it is a shorter account of the daily events. For example, in the event or the healing of the boy who was possessed by demons after the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew 17 records a very short incident. The longest incident recorded was by Mark in Mark chapter 9. That was a very long, detailed explanation of the whole thing. So we know that Matthew has a different purpose from Mark and Luke and John. So in chapter 1, verse 1, Matthew focuses on the Jewish mind. The Jews are looking for the son of Abraham, the son of David. The two fulfillment, that points to the two major covenants that God has made to Abraham. To Abraham, God has promised the seed that will bless all nations. To David, God has promised a seed that will rule and reign over the nation of Israel. Which is why he placed it this way here: Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. In his introduction, he focuses on the kingly aspect. That is why in chapter 2, again he re-emphasized Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is a king. Jesus is the king of the Jews. The Messiah is the king of the Jews. In chapter 2, he records events which the other Gospels neglected and did not record. That is, that there was during the time when he was born, wise men from the east, in chapter 2 verse 1. And they came to Jerusalem, seeking him, and says in verse 2, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? You see in chapter 1, focusing on the king. Chapter 2, focusing on the king. Now just one small aspect we want to pay attention to here. And that is that many Christmas stories show the wise men coming, and many Christmas plays show Jesus Christ in the swaddling cloth. Swaddling cloth. Praise the Lord. Wonder whether this will do. Alright. So Jesus Christ in a swaddling cloth, and Mary was holding the swaddling cloth, and they were kneeling in a very nice way in a nice looking barn. It looks like the barn was renovated. Of course, we realized that when Jesus was born, that barn was full of every kind of animal droppings that you would know of. I mean, the owner, the innkeeper, didn't purposely make it nice. He just said, well, if you got no place, you can go there, to that barn. And I guess it was really not fit enough for human being. Yet our Lord Jesus Christ was born there. It was not as comfortable and nice as most of us like to think about it for Christmas. All the straw is new. And the babe was in swaddling cloths. And then the Christmas place always show the shepherds coming and all kneeling down and worshipping the babe. And there is Joseph, and there's Mary, and then the shepherds. And then after that, they show the three wise men coming, you know, dang, 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 coming here. There are a few things we got to clarify about these myths. Number one, the Bible never said they were three. It was from an old hymn. We three kings of Orient are here. Right. It was from an old hymn. The Bible never said that it was three. Tradition say that it was three, but it's not in the Bible. It didn't say that there were three wise men. It just say wise men from the east. How did they get the number three? Because there were three gifts. Possibly it may have been three, right? One brought the gold, one brought the frankincense, and one brought the myrrh. Possible. But I just want to pay note to what the Bible says, in that sometimes we don't read the Bible carefully and we make a lot of assumptions. So there is Mary and then the wise men coming. However, if you look very carefully, by the time the wise men came, Jesus had grown. Jesus was no more a baby when they reached Jerusalem. I mean, the wise men didn't just live next door. They traveled a long way. When Jesus was born, they saw the star. And when they saw the star, they started going, walking, packing all their belongings. And they started going, and going to worship this King of the Jews. By the time they reached Jerusalem, it was about 1 to 2 years. And when they found Jesus Christ, he was no more in a manger. He was in a house. Matthew chapter 2. So all the Christmas play must be redone. This Christmas, hope they do it rightly. Matthew chapter 2, verse 11, look carefully. It says here, when they had come into the house. And look at that. They saw the young child with Mary, his mother. Jesus was there with his mother. He was not being carried, he was just with his mother. Can you imagine a newborn child just standing there? No, he was with his mother. He was about between 1 to 2 years old. It took them that long to reach there. And then we also have the fact here that when the wise man left without telling King Herod, King Herod killed gave an order for all young children 2 years and below to be killed, because that was the approximate age of Jesus. He had gathered from the wise men. So there's another piece of evidence. Now in chapter 2, the wonderful thing here, we can see the leading of the Holy Spirit. You see here that the wise men saw the star, but apparently from the time they followed the star to the time they reached Jerusalem, they could not see the star anymore. They just calculated the direction and then they head towards the direction, and the star may have disappeared or whatsoever over that 1 year period. That is why in Jerusalem they were asking around. They didn't know where to find Jesus. Obviously the logical place to go is to go to the capital in Jerusalem. So in chapter 2 verse 1, the wise men came from the east. They came to Jerusalem. In verse 2 he says, they asked, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews?" They were asking around, "Where is he who is born king of the Jews?" They didn't know where. See, don't have the idea. That's another myth, that all the white men saw was a star, and they were starry-eyed. Then the star lead them. They just follow. Oh, turn left, turn right, turn this way, turn where? Oh, there is Jesus. Right. No. They saw the star far away, and on the day Jesus was born, they saw the star. Somehow the star disappeared. And all they had was the calculations and the directions, and they headed towards Jerusalem. When they were there, there was no star yet. If there was, why should they ask around? Logical. I mean, if they had a star to follow, they wouldn't be asking, "Where is this king of the Jew?" I mean, follow the star. And then the scribes, their second leading was the scribes tell them. The scribes and the priests all said, "According to the scriptures, the Messiah must be born in Bethlehem." That was the second direction. So following the scriptures in verse 5, verse 6, they went to Bethlehem. Their first leading was by a star. Their second leading was by the scriptures. Can you see that second leading was by the scriptures? It was the scriptures that brought them to Bethlehem. And when they reached Bethlehem, the star appeared again. In verse, looking over here in verse 9. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. Their third leading was again back to the star. Can you see that even there we have a little teaching there? That the Holy Spirit, by a manifestation, whatever manifestation, will lead you and will encourage you and draw it out from you to seek God. Then as you seek for direction in your life, you may have a certain leading, but you need to get back to the Word to get your Bethlehem. Then once the Word leads you to a more detailed direction to your Bethlehem, then there you can expect the Holy Spirit to confirm again. So they still needed the Word. The star was not enough. They needed the scriptures. But basically chapter 2 points to the fact that Jesus was king again. And the three gifts that they brought for Jesus in verse 11, gold, frankincense and myrrh. Gold symbolizing divinity, frankincense symbolizing priesthood, and myrrh symbolizing sufferings. All those things that Jesus will fulfill. In chapter 3, speaks about John the Baptist, who prepared the way before Jesus Christ. And we focus more on that. But in chapter 3, verse 15, we want to pay note to verse 13 to 15 first. Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, "I have need to be baptized by you, and are you coming to me?" But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. It's very important to see here in verse 15 that John's baptism, which is also known as the baptism of repentance, the baptism of repentance. Acts 19, Paul says in verse